The Almanac's big break finally came once they stopped singing peace songs after the Soviet Union was invaded.
Only gradually, as the fall came along, 41, our emphasis came more beat Hitler. And the beat Hitler songs didn't get written overnight. In other words, we didn't suddenly on October 16th say, okay, folks, we quit singing Union songs, now we're going to sing beat Hitler songs. But each month, as the war news built up and so on, we de-emphasized the Union struggle and emphasized the anti-fascist struggle.
Winston Churchill.
We have differed and quarreled in the past, but now one bond unites us all: to wage war until victory is won, and never to surrender ourselves to servitude and shame.
Lee Hayes.
The nature of the war changed, and the whole Chamberlain policy had to be changed, so we no longer could attack because there was a chance of winning an anti-fascist war.
It was in December of 1941, because we were still on 10th Street at the time of Pearl Harbor. It was Sunday, and Arthur Stern came in, "Have you heard the news? The Japs have just bombed Pearl Harbor." I said, "What's Pearl Harbor?" "Oh, that's a big Navy base in Hawaii. We're at war."
"Mr. President, we haven't always agreed in the past, I know, but that ain't at all important now. What is important is what we got to do. We got to lick Mr. Hitler, and until we do, other things can wait. There's lots of things wrong, but Hitler won't help them."
The Almanac's Beat Hitler songs were immensely popular.
We were absolutely, completely unprepared for success of any kind. We just straggled up to the microphone, started to sing, wearing whatever it was we happened to be having on at the moment.
The Almanacs auditioned at one of New York's fanciest nightclubs, the Rainbow Room.
We were in this enormous nightclub, deserted, with the tablecloths on the tables, looking out over this enormous view of Manhattan. I'd never been in any place like that. This was upper crust society. The people in it were sharp businessmen running a big nightclub. They thought of us as an act and treated us like an act, and we didn't know how to respond. And it was so clearly the wrong place. All the people there could think of was that we should wear blue jeans and bandanas.
On February 14th, 1942, the Almanacs played for 30 million listeners simultaneously on all four networks.
This is war.
We singing people sing a different kind of tune now. A battle hymn made up of strains of music from 1,000 whirring dynamos and working locomotive bells and tractors groaning in low gear. Songs will rise up from our singing people, some well worth the nation's ear. Songs to work to and to fight to and to set our quotas to.
Well, the German Army General Staff, yes, they missed connection. They went 100 miles a day, but in the wrong direction.
Hey, round, round, Hitler's grave, round, round we go. Don't lay that poor boy down, he won't get up no more. Hey, round, round, Hitler's grave, round, round we go. Don't lay that poor boy down, he won't get up no more.
They had signed a contract with Decca Records, which was very big at that time. They had signed up with William Morris. William Morris laid out the money for their union dues. They had to join 802 to become professionals, and was lining them up a nationwide tour. When the Red Baiting article, as I remember, it appeared first in February on the front page, they were told not to come back to the Rainbow Room. Decca said the contracts are canceled. William Morris says, this is the end of it.
We weren't willing to change, and the Rainbow Room wasn't willing to take us on our terms.
Seeger had concerns closer to home. He'd met a girl at a square dance, Toshi Ota. They started dating, and then Pete Seeger received his induction notice.
Early summer of 1944, took a troop ship to Hawaii and then to Saipan, and I guess arrived there in the late summer.